بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فالحمد لله، we praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى that he gathered us in this house of Allah, the Bayt min Buyutillah. نتدارس القرآن such that we study the Quran, or we go through that, those great pieces of advice from our scholars in contemplating and in studying the verses and stories in the Quran. And we have reached the story of Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu salam and Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam. So this evening, inshallah, we will be looking at the qissa of Dawood alayhi salatu salam. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, the mufassir of Quran, the great scholar, he begins after he says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. He says, وَكَانَ مِنْ أَعْضَمِ أَنْبِيَاءِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ The two prophets, Dawood alayhi salatu salam and Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, from the greatest of the prophets from Bani Israel. وَجَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُمَا بَيْنَ النُّبُوَّةِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he blessed them with prophethood and wisdom. وَالْمُلْكِ And also with kingdom. We gave them a kingdom, such that they had a dominion which was second to none in their time. الْمُلْكُ الْعَظِيمُ الْقَوِي Which was with power and strength. أَمَّا دَاوُودُ As for Dawood عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَكَانَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْعَسْكَرِ الَّذِينَ مَعَ طَالُوتِ As for Dawood, then he was from the, or amidst the army of Talut. الَّذِي اخْتَارَهُ أَحَدُ أَنْبِيَاءِ إِسْرَائِيلِ مُلْكًا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ Such that he was considered to be a king in his time, meaning Talut. And Talut chose, or he had under his midst, an army, and amongst this army was, or in the midst of the army was Dawood alayhi salatu salam. Initially, actually, he wasn't in the army because of his young age, and because they didn't consider him to be of age to go forth and partake in the army. But because he showed bravery, and some of the stories that Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions that he defeated upon being attacked by a lion, he managed to overcome the lion to prove his bravery, and he showed that, and he said, look, this is what I am able to do. So they allowed him to be in the army. وَقُوَّتِهِ وَعِلْمِهِ فِي السِّيَاسَةِ وَالنِّظَامِ الْجُيُوشِ He had that ability to have strength, Allah gave him knowledge, and also in how to aid the army in the affairs of war. كما قال تعالى وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave him بسطة في العلم والجسم. بسطة meaning قوة and strength in knowledge and also in body. ولما برزوا الجالوت ولما برزوا لجالوت وجنوده نعم وصبر عسكر طالوت. So when Jalut, who they translate as Goliath, when he and his army and his people were oppressing the people of the town for many years, when they came forward in order to, when the army of Talut came forward in order to defend themselves against Jalut, who came forward first and foremost was Dawood. Was Dawood. استعانوا بالله. تفوق داود عليه السلام على الجميع بالشجاعة. So they sought help with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Dawood stepped forward to the extent that Jalut was laughing, saying, this is the person you are going to put forward to fight me, this is the one that you're going to put forward, and he started laughing. فباشر بنفسه قتل ملكهم. But Dawood عليه السلام, he put it upon himself with bravery to go forward. And he had these, as is mentioned by Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, these pebbles that he put in a sling. He carried it with him, and he went forward in order to defeat Goliath. And that is what happened. As he came forward, he slung his the pebbles that he had, and alhamdulillah, he was able to inflict harm and kill Goliath. وَحَصَلَتْ الْهَزِيمَةِ And the defeat occurred, meaning they were able to defeat this army. نعم على بقيتهم, because the rest of Dawood's army, and the ones with Dawood, they went forward and they were able to defeat the army of Goliath. بقوتهم ونصر الله. And that was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about this in the Quran. كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله. How many a small group were able to defeat a large group by the will of Allah? So Nasr is biyadillah. Victory is with the help of Allah. It may be that people look down upon you, people look down upon your army, people look down upon your strength, but the reality is Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam and those with him, they went forward with tawakkul, with reliance upon Allah, and with strength that Allah strengthened them with. And they relied upon Allah, upon Tawheed, and alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them that victory over the enemy. And victory over the enemy comes from Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this is first and foremost, victory over any enemy comes and stems from Iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ You will be uppermost if you are true believers. You will be uppermost if you are true believers. And Allah said, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ If you help Allah in His deen, He will help you and give you victory and make your feet firmly established. Make your feet firmly established. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَلَا يَنْصُرُنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ And indeed of a surety, no doubt Allah will give victory to those who give victory to His deen. Giving victory to His deen is first and foremost with at-tawheed. With worshipping Allah alone, being sincere, relying upon Him alone, and calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and knowing that victory comes from Allah. Even a feeling in your heart that you have, where you feel that you have numbers more than the enemy, thinking that that will be a reason for your victory, you will lose. Without the help of Allah. And this happened in Hunayn. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْن إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ Whilst that number, the number of your army, you were amazed with, you were beguiled with. Yani seeing how big the army that you had against the enemy, and just the feeling that entered their heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a reason for them to lose the battle. It is not the feeling of how many are with you. Not the feeling of how much strength that you have. Rather, we should have true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That quwwa, بَلِ الْقُوَّةُ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا Rather, the strength, all of it, the power, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there are conditions. There are conditions. And from those conditions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the conditions of victory. Is no doubt in the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in time of sahaba, that one will be able to defeat 10 amongst the enemy. But Allah said, وَالْآنَ خَفَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمْ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِيكُمْ ضَعْفًا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for you now. And He knows there is weakness in you. So after that, He said, if there are amongst you 100, you will be able to defeat 200. What is the ratio there? The ratio became 1 to 2. So if you have half the enemy, half the strength of the enemy, as Sheikh Muhammad al-Banna rahimahullah says, based upon this verse, if you have half the strength of the enemy, and you have before that iman, tawheed, aqeedah, you have strength in your deen before that, and you have half the strength of the enemy, then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory and give you aid. In time of Sahaba, it was the ratio of 10 to 1. That's why in Badr, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were outnumbered 3 to 1, but they were able to inflict defeats upon the enemy. And why? Because they were able to inflict defeat, even if it was at the ratio of 10 to 1. Even if it was at the ratio of 10 to 1. That was the caliber of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels to aid them and defeat the enemy. But after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah knows there is weakness in you, then if you are 100 patient, you'll be able to defeat 200. So it became 2-1, until today. If you have half the strength of the enemy, and you don't go out as rubble, like you have all these rubble rousers, saying that they have an army here and an army there and an army. This is not how, it should be. Rather, you fight behind a leader, a legitimate leader. If there is an oppressive people, oppressive army that is coming to attack you, then you fight behind a leader. You don't go out yourself as groups, as renegades going out, inflicting harm upon yourself and upon those with you. As we have seen in Syria, they don't have the strength to defeat the evil ruler there, and in the end it backfires. It backfired in Syria now, and it backfired in Syria then, in the city of Hama, where many were destroyed. And it backfired in Algeria, where many people were killed. Over 100,000 were killed because they went out against the ruler. So revolutions are not from Islam. If you have the ability to remove the oppressive ruler without causing more harm than good, alhamdulillah. But if you don't have the ability, and you are going to cause more harm than good, and you don't have iman and deen before that, and you don't have half the strength of the enemy, then you don't go out. You're patient. And you stick to the sharia of Rasulullah ﷺ, the seerah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and you don't cause more harm than good. Those who went out and they caused revolutions in Egypt, did they bring any benefit? Cause more harm than good. And they got someone worse than the one before. And Allah knows best. But anyway, it shows you that that the situation, if it's not the leader is worse, the situation is worse. Situation Egypt, is it better now or worse? It's worse. In Syria, is it better now or worse? It's worse. So therefore, person should turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be patient and bring about good in his community, bring about rectification in their communities, rather and educate and cultivate, rather than cause turmoil and bloodshed, children being orphaned, women being widowed and displaced, millions being displaced, as we see the displacement of many in Syria, those who have traveled to many other countries, those who are drowned as they try to flee the war and affliction and harm that they endured back home. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us from these stories, these great parables, these learning experiences, such that we don't fall into harming ourselves and those around us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Sa'd, verse 20, in this story of Dawood alayhi salam, you'll find it in Surah Sa'd mainly. وَشَدَدْنَا مُلْكَهُ وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْحِكْمَةَ وَفَصْلَ الْخِطَابِ. We strengthened his mulk, we strengthened his kingdom, na'am, and we have given him wisdom and the ability to converse and have eloquence in speech and able to solve between parties, because people would come to him after the killing of Goliath. Then Dawood alayhi salatu salam became popular and became loved because he was able to help his people from this oppressive individual, and he was able to bring them out of that hardship. And so from those things that transpired thereafter was that people would come to him in order to solve between themselves in their disputes and in their discussions. وَكَانَ قَدْ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ قُوَّةً فِي الْعِبَادَةِ. And the quwwah that Allah gave him is not just the quwwah in strength in front of the enemy, but quwwah in ibadah. Allahu Akbar. That is what he gave him. Quwwah in ibadah. Before the quwwah in ability of strength, in bust, in body. Quwwah in ibadah. He was known to worship Allah much. He was known to recite the Quran beautifully, that even the mountains would respond. Na'am, the mountains will respond. And the birds, and other than that, they would be so attentive to him reciting the Qur'an. Creation of Allah, loving that he recited the Qur'an in the manner that he recited. وَوَصَفَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَادَيْنِ الْوَصْفَيْنِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him with these two characteristics. And that is, قُوَّة فِي الْعِبَادَةِ, strength in worship, and basira, and having insight and knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اصبر على ما يقولون. Be patient with what they say about you. This is Allah saying to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be patient at what they say about you, from harm, from insults, from lies, from that which they used to say about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُودِ. And take as a reminder the story of Dawood. Dal-Aidi, innahu awwab. Dal-Aidi, the possessor of strength and might. Indeed, he was awwab, one who would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repentfully, continuously calling upon Allah to forgive him. فَوَصَفَهُ بِالْقُوَّةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ. So Allah described Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam with having this great strength. Ala ma amara Allah, upon that which Allah subhanahu has commanded. Wa bi annahu awwab li kamali ma'rifatihi billah. He is awwab, repentful to Allah continuously from what he knows about Allah. The more you know about Allah, the more you go towards him. You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wadud, the most beloved, the one who loves that you come to him in repentance. He loves that you do ibadah. He loves that you come to him walking, he comes to you running, you come to him a handspan, he comes to you an arm's length. Allah loves that you come to him in forgiveness, in repentance, in calling upon him. You call upon him by his beautiful names. Knowing Allah, the more you know him, the more you come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do you come closer to Allah? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said it. You come closer to, there isn't anything that the servant comes closer to Allah except by the obligatory duties, first and foremost. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَبْتُ عَلَيْهِ. More beloved to him than the obligatory duty. There isn't anything more beloved to Allah that you come to him with the obligations. Tawheed, as-salah, as-siyam, as-zakah, al-hajj, obligations, umrah, once in your lifetime as well, not just hajj, once in your lifetime, umrah, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which Allah has obligated you to do. Allah will love you. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And the servant continues to come closer to me with the nawafil, with the voluntary acts, until I love him. Until I love him. So first and foremost, obligations. Thereafter, voluntary acts. You don't start with voluntary acts before obligations, as some of the jama'at do. Jama'at al-tabligh, for example, they talk about fada'il a'mal, fada'il a'mal, fada'il a'mal. Voluntary acts, good deeds. Jazakallah khair. But what is before fada'il a'mal? What is the best of the actions? At-tawheed. Teach the people aqeedah. Teach the people to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his beautiful names and attributes. Teach the people that only Allah deserves to be worshipped. Calling upon Allah, relying upon Allah, not on talismans and good luck charms. Relying upon Allah alone. Muslim ummah, unfortunately, you'll see they are engrossed in relying upon other than Allah. Illa man rahim Allah, except those Allah has mercy on. People are worshipping other than Allah without realizing it. People are calling upon other than Allah. People are relying upon other than Allah. People are relying on charms. You go to certain Arab countries, you'll see people putting a dough in front of the car and saying, this will protect me and my car. People, just like the Christians, they have a horseshoe, relying upon saying that this is, if you put it upside down, it's bad luck. But if you put it upright, all the good will come. People rely on these charms. Just like they have that, Muslims are relying upon other than Allah, except those Allah has mercy on. You see it, it's prevalent. It's prevalent and you see it widespread in the Muslim ummah. So how do you expect victory if the first and foremost aspect is being tainted in many communities, many societies? People are relying upon Allah. So jama'at al-tabligh and jama'at al-ikhwan and all these jama'at, why is it you don't concentrate on the first category, the first aspect, the first obligation that Allah called you to and called all the messengers to? وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. This is what you should call the people to. First and foremost, knowing the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Jama'at al-tabligh, they say they have six points in their methodology. The first methodology they call tawheed. If you analyze what that methodology is, you see it means, they say, إخراج اليقين الفاسد, taking out the false yaqeen from the heart, the corrupt yaqeen from the heart, and putting in the correct yaqeen. Yaqeen, certainty, is only one condition from the conditions of La ilaha illallah. What about the rest of the seven conditions? The rest of the seven conditions to complete your La ilaha illallah. So yaqeen is one. So if you're not teaching the people this, then how do you expect Allah to give you aid and to give you victory? Jazakallah khair for your good deed. May Allah reward you for your nice smile and for your... May Allah reward you for the voluntary... But before that, your methodology must be the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the methodology of knowing, first and foremost, at-tawheed. So knowing the seven conditions of La ilaha illallah, al-ilmu, wal-yaqeenu wal-qabulu, wal-inqiyadu fadri ma aqulu, wal-sidqu wal-ikhlasi wal-mahabba, waffaqaka Allah lima ahabba. Seven conditions. Ilm, knowing La ilaha illallah. Al-yaqeen is one of them that they mentioned. Al-qabulu, acceptance, accepting that which Allah has called you to worship Him alone, to worship Him in accordance with Rasulullah s.a.w.'s way. Al-qabulu, wal-inqiyadu, compliance, complying in that which Allah commanded you with, following the sunnah of the Messenger s.a.w., compliance. Wal-inqiyadu fadri ma aqulu, was-sidqu, having sincerity in La ilaha illallah, in all that you do, being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mahabbah, loving Allah more than you love anyone else, loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you love anyone else, loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and loving those who adhere to this blessed path, having wala and bara, true wala and bara, loving and hating for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seven conditions of La ilaha illallah. So if this is not what you are concentrating on, then you will see many flaws in your da'wah. In your da'wah. So going back to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was commanded to be patient. Just and look at the example of Dawood alayhi salam, for indeed he was awwab, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. For wasafahu bil quwwati al-azima ala ma amara Allah wa bi annahu awwabun li kamali ma'rifatihi billah. Allah described Dawood alayhi salam as being awwab due to the completeness in knowing Allah, or the because he knows Allah. The more you know Allah and His beautiful names and attributes, the more you love Him, the more you come closer to Him, and the more Allah loves you. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَدْ سَخَّرَ لَهُ الْطَيْرَ وَالْجِبَالَ تُسَبِّحُ اللَّهُ مَعَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Dawood such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for him birds and mountains that also used to extol the praises of Allah with him. So as he's reciting the Quran, as he's praising the Quran, the mountains are praising Allah, the mountains are also praising Allah, the birds are also praising Allah with Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. وَقَدْ كَانَ أُعْطِيَ مِنْ حُسْنِ الصَّوْتٍ مِنْ حُسْنِ الصَّوْتِ وَالرَّخَامَتِهِ مَا لَمْ يُؤْتَ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. He was given this beautiful voice that which no one from creation was given. Yani, in that time, he was given that beautiful voice that everyone loved to hear from him. The recitation, we said Quran, but in those days it was his Zabur. So that was a slip. وَكَانَ يَنَامُ نِصْفَ اللَّيْلِ. Look at his ibadah. He used to sleep half the night. وَيَقُومُ ثُلُثَهُ. And the third of the night he would pray. وَيَنَامُ سُدُسَهُ. And he would sleep thereafter a sixth of it. Showing you that this is the best prayer of the night that the Prophet ﷺ himself used to practice. Sleeping a half the night, praying a third of the night, and sleeping the rest of the sixth before they go up for Fajr. And this shows you that there isn't anything more complete than that which the Rasul ﷺ came with, and that which the Messenger ﷺ also agreed to from the previous Sharia or the previous prophets that came with. For indeed, there were amongst the Sahaba who wanted to do more. The three who said, I will pray all night. Another one said, I will never marry women. And the other one said, I'm going to fast every day. The Prophet, when he heard of this, he said to him, I pray and I sleep. And I fast and I break my fast. And I marry women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. So whoever turns away from my sunnah is not of me. Is not of me. So having excessiveness, having extremism in the religion is not allowed. Whoever has shidda, then it will overcome him. Shidda above or outside its place, it will overcome him. So Dawood alayhi salam, he used to also fast a day and break his fast. Fast a day and eat a day. Fast a day and eat. Yani, he would not fast continuously every single day. Fast one day, break your fast another day. Fast one day, that is the best fast. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said also in another hadith, he said, Man sama dhahr, whoever fasts every day, then he has not fasted. SubhanAllah, imagine somebody yata'ab nafsa, every day is fasting, and he get nothing. It's as if he didn't fast. Why? Because he opposed the Sharia. He opposed the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'asam, the one who fasts every day, ma'asam. He did not fast. Every day the person's fasting. But he didn't actually fast. You know why? Because there isn't any fast better than the fast of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. And how can you fast every day? When Eid comes, you're going to fast? There's a prohibition. And likewise, there's a prohibition of fasting every single day. Rather, the best fast is the fast of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine that. He was indeed a worshipper of Allah. وَكَانَ إِذَا لَقَى الْعَدُوَّ رَأَى الْخَلْقَ مِنْ شَجَاعَتِهِ مَا يُعْجِبُ النَّاظِرِينَ وَقَدْ أَلَانَ اللَّهُ لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ. نعم. In those days, they would, after the battle, after the killing of Goliath and the victory they had over him, in those days, they had a difficulty in wearing armor. Armor, it was heavy. Iron, made of iron. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam such that he could sculpture iron, even iron, subhanAllah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to make iron soft. Allahu Akbar. Alana lahu al-hadid. Iron, you know how heavy iron is? And how strong iron is? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam the ability to make even iron soft. So he was able to soften the iron and make armor, which was lighter for the people, lighter for his people, such that if they go out to war, they're able to wear this. They will be able to wear this iron armor, but it would be light because Dawood alayhi salam was able to sculpture it in a way to make it light for the people, and that is a blessing from the blessings of Allah, from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, that was a way for Dawood also alayhi salatu wasalam to earn a living, because as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions that actually he used that as a trade, was able to make a living to eat and live in that which is halal. Al-duru' al-waqiyah fi al-hurub wa huwa awwalu man sana'a ad-duru' as-sardiyyah dawat al-khalq allati yahsulu fiha. And he was the first also, Sheikh Sa'di Rahman says, he was the first to make iron sculptured in the form of a chest, so that the people, when they go out, they go out with strong armor going out. And somebody say, well, where's the tawakkul in Allah in this? Yes, this is tawakkul. This is taken from asbab, taking the reasons for tawakkul. Tawakkul of Allah is not just to put your feet up in the air and say, I'm talking to Allah. Huh? People came from Yemen and they said, when it was asked them, when they were asked, who are you? They said, نحن متوكلون. نعم, نحن متوكلون. We are those who rely upon Allah. They had no provisions. They had no... And it was said to them, you are متأكلون. You are actually relying upon others. You are relying upon... How you go on a journey, you don't prepare yourself. How you say... Like some people, they do that. And they begin as they go, as they're on their way. Huh? This is not التوكل. توكل is you tie the camel and then you rely upon Allah. Go out, bring about the reasons for you to get a job, then rely upon Allah. Bring about the reasons for you to for you to succeed in a particular matter, and then rely upon Allah. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Not that you say, I'll talk to Allah, and you don't even prepare for your journey, or for that which you seek. وَهِيَا خَفِفَةُ الْمَحْمَلِ. نعم. He's talking about the armor that Dawood made. It was light. It was light. He made it light that the people sought it.
وَقَدْ عَاتَبَهُ اللَّهُ بِسَبَبِ ذَنْبٍ أَذْنَبَهُ بِأَنَّ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِ مَلَكَيْنِ بِصُورَةِ الْخَصْمَيْنَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'am, corrected Dawood upon a particular matter. In fact, he tested him. He tested him as he sent two angels. And this is, I'm going to read it from the Quran, na'am, so that you can see the story exactly from Surah Sa'd. Na'am. Na'am. So Allah tested him with this, with this test. Na'am. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah mentions,
Inna hadha akhi lahu tis'un wa tis'una na'jatan, wa liya na'jatun wahidatun, faqala akfilniha wa 'azzani fil khitab. Qala laqad dhalamaka bi su'ali na'jatika ila ni'ajih, wa inna katiran min al-khulata'i la yabghi ba'dhum 'ala ba'd. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وقليل ما هم وظن داود أنما فتناه فاستغفر ربه وخر رافعا وأناب.
Verily, this is my brother. So two angels came to Dawood عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now Dawood عليه الصلاة والسلام, he was solving disputes between the people, and it became quite much. And so what he did was, for a period of time, he closed his door from the people. As Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions, closed his door from the people such that he can worship Allah. And he was upon his ibadah. But then, these two angels, in the form of men, they came, and they were able to come through. And they asked him this dispute, they mentioned to him the dispute that they had, and can you resolve the matter between us? And that dispute is, one of them says, this is my brother in religion, yani this is, and he has 99 sheep, while I have only one sheep. And he says, hand it over to me, and he overpowered me in speech. So Dawood alayhi salam, before hearing from the other person, said immediately, without listening to the opponent, he has wronged you in demanding your sheep in addition to his sheep. And Sheikh Sa'd rahimahullah says, it could mean that it was actually 99 women and he wanted the other women for him to take. Yani, that instead of a sheep, it was actually women. Allahu A'lam, as to the reality, what is the correct. But here in Muhsin Khan, he mentions sheep. And verily, many partners oppress one another, except those who believe and do righteous good deeds, and they are few. And Dawood alayhi salam guessed that we have tried him. Guessed here means was certain. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, it doesn't mean that he guessed, actually. Dhan has different levels, and from the highest of levels is yaqeen. وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقِ. Allah says that he was sure that his soul was going to leave him. Meaning that in dhan, especially in this case here, it means certain. So he was certain thereafter that he was being tried and tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so thereafter he sought forgiveness for Allah, to Allah. Why? Because he judged without listening to the other person. And Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah says about this, that this shows us that in any dispute, you have to listen to both sides. You can't make a judgment for one and not the other. And Shaykh Ubayd Hafidhullah also mentions this, that when you have disputes between husband and wife, you can't listen to one and not the other, because one may be more eloquent, one may be emotional, and they will mention things, and then you make a judgment, and then you're wrong in your judgment. And if there's an issue, especially with marriage, or divorce, or khul', then it should be in front of a qadi, a judge, that listens to both sides. And so Dawood alayhi salam, when he realized that, he was quick in answering without actually waiting to hear the other side, then he sought forgiveness from Allah. Look how the prophets are, Yaqwan. They're quick to seek forgiveness. The prophets and messengers, they are protected by Allah from major sins. But they are human. When it comes to minor errors, they are human. They are human. And so, Ahl Sunnah, alhamdulillah, we believe that the prophets and messengers are protected from major sins. Not like the previous nations. The Jews actually, in this story, they changed the story and they said actually, it was Dawood who had 99 wives. And he is the one who asked for another wife from one of his soldiers or one of the army members. And he told that army member to go out on a battle so he could be killed so that he can take his wife. A'udhu billah. This is not how we speak about the Anbiya. And this is a false story. Rather, the correct story which Allah has corrected and mentioned what the previous nations were upon is that the two angels came to him and they are the ones who were, as a test, mentioned this dispute to Dawood alayhi salam. So Dawood alayhi salam, he sought Allah's forgiveness and he fell down and prostrated and turned to Allah in repentance. And Allah said, فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. And so we forgave him that. وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. And verily, for him is an access to us and a good place of final return, meaning paradise. يَا دَاوُودُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. O Dawood, verily we have placed you as a successor on the earth, so judge you between men in truth and justice, and follow not your desire, for it will mislead you from the path of Allah. Verily those who wander astray from the path of Allah shall have a severe torment, because they forgot the day of reckoning. Ahlul Sunnah, alhamdulillah, in all those verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies that he corrected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, Abasa wa Tawalla, Ahlul Sunnah clarify that these are not major sins that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any of the prophets fell into. Prophets and messengers are protected from major sins by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they are human and they could fall into an error that Allah corrects and guides there and then. And this is what happened. Na'am. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Seek forgiveness for your error or errors. Seek forgiveness for your errors. And we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most repentful, the best of those who repented. And so you should seek forgiveness 100 times a day. Na'am. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. We know the Anbiya, likewise, munibina ilayh, they used to turn to Allah in repentance sincerely. All of the Anbiya, walillahi alhamd. We don't say, as the previous nations say, that the Anbiya fell into zina, fornication, adultery, and any of that. A'udhu billahi min dalik. Rather, Allah protected them. But look, oh my dear brothers and sisters, consider how the other sectarian groups translate and explain this verse. فَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. They change it. They change the pronoun. And they say, not as Allah said, and seek forgiveness for your errors. They say, seek forgiveness for your ummah's errors. Ummah is not mentioned there. But this is what they say. Why? Who mentioned this? The Shia, the Rafida. In Mir Ali's translation of Quran, that's how he translated it. Seek forgiveness for your ummah's errors. Why? Because they consider the 12 imams to be infallible, that they don't make any mistakes, not even minor. And so, that's why when it comes to Rasulullah ﷺ, they say that, you know, we cannot say that about Rasulullah ﷺ, but rather, what's this false piety? We say, as the ulama say, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that alhamdulillah Allah blessed the prophets and messengers to be protected from major sins. And that which Allah ﷻ corrected them, is that which they turn into repentance thereafter. For those minor, minute Compared to that which they have come with from great ibadah. And that is one example. Another example is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَعَمْ when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned,
وَالضُّحَى وَالْلَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى Didn't Allah find you an orphan and He protected you and aided you? وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى And He found you without guidance. And He guided you.
SubhanAllah. Some of the translators, they mess up. They say, we found you misguided. No, don't say that about... Muhammad Muhsin Khan. Allah Mubarak. With Taqiyadin al-Hilali. Taqiyadin al-Hilali al-Maghrabi. Rahimahullah. Allah Mubarak. These two great scholars, when they came to translate Nabul Quran, they said, and we found you... Dallan means before revelation was given to you, without guidance, and without the actual revelation, which is a better translation. Without or before revelation. Not that we found you misguided, not that we found you upon error, not that we found you astray, which comes in many of the translations. This is incorrect. And not the other extreme as well, like we find with this Sufi. What's this Sufi one who's got translation of Quran? Taqiyad, what's his name? Can you remind me? This one, famous Sufi one who's got translation, Brilvi, who's got translation of Quran. When he came to this verse, Tahir Qadri, he came to this verse and he said, وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى And we found your nations misguided. Again, they changed the pronoun. They changed the pronoun. And they changed the verse in itself. No, the verse means without or before the revelation came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him with that revelation. When he told him, when he said to him to read, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. So these are just some examples where they try to run away from, because they don't actually understand. They don't go back to tafsir of Ahl Sunnah. Whether it's Tafsir al-Tabari, whether it's Tafsir al-Baghawi, whether it's Tafsir ibn Kathir, whether it's Tafsir al-Sa'di, and other than them from the great scholars of Mufassirin, rather they might go to the Tafasir of the Mu'tazila, like Zamakhshari and Razi, and Baydawi, and other Mufassirin, whereby they are not upon the way of Ahlul Sunnah, and so they go astray, lead others astray. So these are some examples. Rather the Messenger, Allah guided him, and he blessed him, and all of the prophets Allah guided and he blessed. وَكَانَ إِذَا لَقَى الْعَدُوَّ وَرَأَى النَّعَمُ We mentioned that. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ So those two angels that came, Dawood alayhi salam realized that actually it was a test, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And he mentioned that there, then he said, نُؤَنَا فَمَحَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ الدَّمُ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blotted out the error, وعاد بعد التوبة أحسن مما كان قبل ذلك and he became even better worship of Allah after the tawbah حصل له القرب العظيم such that he came close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that great closeness and a good end and a good abode and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to judge between the people in the best way these are some of the points from the story of Dawood alayhi salam mentioning his strength mentioning his quwwah, mentioning his wisdom, mentioning also his ibadah, strength in ibadah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who follow the great examples of the prophets and messengers that came that came to us, that are mentioned in the Qur'an. We ask Allah to protect us and forgive us our shortcomings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with understanding the Qur'an and understanding it in the correct manner, and that is going back to the Quran and Sunnah in the understanding of the companions. Dawood alayhi salatu salam, he took care of his people. He spent a portion of his day to worship Allah, as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioned, and a portion of his day to help the people. Allahu Akbar. Portion of his day to worship Allah, and a portion of his day to help the people. And this helping of the people, na'am, whether it is by way of judging between their disputes, or by way of just helping them in that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no doubt this is something praiseworthy. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allah, the Messenger of Allah mentions, Allahu fi auni abd, ma kana al-abdu fi auni akhi. Allah continues to help the servant so long as he helps his brother. So helping each other for Allah's sake, keeping the community and society in a good, intact way, such that it is in harmony, and love and brotherhood, sisterhood is spread amongst you. And the first people you should be doing that to is your family members, your relatives, your brothers, your sisters, your children, your cousins, your aunties, and so on and so forth. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our deeds and make us better, make our actions better than our speech. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. Inshallah, tomorrow we will resume at Dhuhr time, and we will cover the next part of this qissa, and that is the story of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, who is the son of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. What is your advice for strong ibadah? Yani, for those who are lax when it comes to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The advice that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah gives, the great Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimullah gives, is to do much dhikr, to remember Allah much. If you remember Allah much, Allah will aid you. Just like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Fatima radiallahu anha, na'am, she wanted a servant to help her with her daily chores. And the Messenger said to her, I'll teach you something to say every night. It's better for you than asking for a servant. And that is, he taught her the tasbih, takbir, na'am, tahmid, praising Allah, saying Allahu Akbar, saying Subhanallah before she sleeps, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid her in the next day, in the next morning, the next day, with strength. So having strength, you have to ask, you have to do dhikr of Allah, you have to ask Allah to keep you away from laziness. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself would seek refuge from laziness. He would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal wal-ajaz. Oh Allah, I seek refuge from laziness and from the inability to do something. Having the inability such that you can't do something because of your, maybe your bodily harm or some difficult injury. Na'am. That is, you seek refuge in Allah from that. So these are something that you can do in your everyday life. But the most important thing, Ya Abdullah, is to rectify the heart. If the heart is strong, alhamdulillah, you'll find ibadah easy. If your heart is strong, how do you make your heart strong? Dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, sincerity, tawakkul, reliance upon Allah, tawheed, being upon tawheed, where you are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that you are calling upon Him, relying upon Him, bringing the affairs all back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it belongs to Him. Do not fear poverty. Do not fear the enemy. Someone's about to harm you. Wallahi afwan. Even if somebody is just about to kill you, Allah can repel that. He's able to repel that person to slip and fall and he dies. Rely upon Allah. Having that strength of actions of the heart, you will be, inshaAllah, aided by Allah in that which you go towards in doing good deeds. Allah will aid you. The Messenger said, إِنَّهُ يَسِيرٌ لِمَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. It is easy for those who Allah has made it easy for. So if you complain of laziness, complain of not having that raghbah, that desire, that azimah from the heart, is because there's something wrong. It's because there's something wrong. Because that is a blessing from Allah. That He puts it in your heart to have azimah, to have the initial striving, the initial effort from the heart. That's why the heart is that piece of flesh. If it is sound, the whole body is sound. If it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart We have to protect our hearts with the dhikr of Allah. Protect our hearts from sins. Be a believer, a true believer, where you see the sins ready to fall on your head. Do not be like the hypocrites. They see their sins like a mountain, that they see their sins like a fly. They just brush it off. Be a true believer, where you are afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else, where you love Allah more than anyone else. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those who believe, they love Allah the most. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, alaikum salam wa barakatuh. With the verse about Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu salam in Surah Hud, be an example of Allah correcting a prophet. فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Now, when Nuh alayhi salatu salam, when he asked about his family member, because when it was about, when Nuh alayhi salatu salam was about to drown, actually, he said, سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلٍ فَيُعْصِمُنِي. That jabal, that mountain, will protect me. I'm going to go to the mountain when the flood comes that you are mentioning. I'm going to be protected by this mountain because of its height. And when the wave came between them, عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمِ. There's no other protection from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed. And turning to Allah is what you and me and all of us should do. Rather, when Nuh's son, he sought a path other than the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was not successful. Thereafter, Nuh alayhi salam, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Na'am, didn't you say that my family will be protected? Meaning about his son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that, فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't ask of me that which you have no knowledge of. إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ, I warn you, أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, of being from the ignorant ones. So yes, no doubt, that was a correction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, all of the anbiya, when they are corrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in minor affairs and minute errors, if you like, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them, for they turn to Allah in repentance sincerely, and they become better worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are of those who turn to Him. Everybody falls into errors. Kull ibn Adam khatta. All of the children of Adam fall into mistakes. وَخَيْرُ خَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. And the best of those who fall, and the best of those who err, are the repentful ones. They're the best. So Nuh alayhi salam is from Ibn Adam. And all of the Anbiya are from Ibn Adam. And we all make mistakes. And the best of those who turn to repent, who make mistakes, are those who turn into repentance. And they become better worshippers. It's enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised them in the Quran, and praise their repentance, and praise their turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the best people, the anbiya. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّيقِينَ وَشُهَدَاءُ الصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. What a beautiful companionship that is, the anbiya, to be with the prophets and messengers. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and aid us. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala khairi khalqi Muhammad. Aghda'un alhamdulillah bil alameen.